Brother Michael informs me that I might convey to you that besides the overflowing crowd last night in response to our advertising, there was 59 in the mail that responded who were unable to be at the showing, so we had a good response from this advertisement. And now, once again, it's a wonderful privilege to have Brother Gaddy with us. And he has chosen to consider for us one with God, Brother Gaddy.
Thank you once again, Brother Sam. Dear brethren, one with God certainly is our hope, to be one with God as our Lord and Savior was one with God in purpose in his life and in our life, and the purpose of God Almighty himself, our Father. At one time, Adam was one with God. At one time, even all of the spiritual realm, the spirit beings were at one with God. But we are confined to the scriptures to know that it didn't continue that way. Only that spirit being known as the Logos continued in that way of one with God. And that is our purpose, to achieve into that oneness and purpose with God Almighty. This 17th chapter of John contains our Lord's prayer on that evening just prior to his death. And in the 11th verse, we read, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, and keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." The purpose in his prayer there for the church in vision that had been given to him might be that they would lay down their lives in service and in sacrifice for the purpose of God, that they might be one as we are. We know that these scriptures sometimes have been confused with the thought of the Trinity doctrine, that they were actually one in person. But this isn't the thought at all. That they might be one in purpose. And not only them, but the whole church. How could they be one and the same as God? This is what his prayer was. This is what our hopes are. To be holy, completely in oneness with the effect of God. We have some examples for consideration. We think of two persons, two men perhaps, being in a business agreement or arrangement, going into this arrangement and dedicating themselves to this arrangement to produce and to sell their product or products to the public. The obvious reasoning or reason for marketing, of course, is monetary. A mutual working together to achieve a purpose, the monetary goal that they had in mind. That is one example. That is a oneness of their purpose for a monetary gain. A second example, that of a marriage, a natural marriage of a man and a woman, having mutual love one for another, striving to make a healthy, happy home and a family, perhaps children to enhance that home, that marriage, that love, that devotion. Because this is the purpose of those, the marriage would be fully in harmony and love, as God is love. It takes two to make a marriage work, doesn't it? It takes the unity that they become one in purpose. And what an example are cited for us in scriptures along this line. We have a couple of scriptures we'd like to read in the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And the first one is the 31st verse. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, that the two shall be one flesh, joined together as one. The two became one. Leaving all other things for that purpose, to make that marriage work. And it took this bond of love for each one to reciprocate one to the other, to make this agreement work, working together for that same purpose. Continuing with the 28th verse through the 30th verse of that same chapter. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body. The last part of that verse is spurious, of his flesh and of his bone. The unity we see here put before us as a marriage. No one ever hated his own flesh. Perhaps sometimes in our life, when we see that we have performed in a very poor manner, we might say, I hate myself, because I hate the act or the deed, what I did, the words that I have spoken. I hate myself for those things. But not really. You don't really. You want to do something to uplift your flesh, not to harm it. God gave us this flesh to live in as an abode, a tabernacle to live in the rest of our days. And we try to take care of it. We address it quite well sometimes. We take vitamins and all these things that we're perhaps trying to have a better quality of life, perhaps. And so it is. We want to do the things that God would have us to do. And with this marriage, natural marriage, they want to do the thing that would be pleasing to the other one. To make this marriage work, one has to concede to the other one. It has to become one. One in purpose. Not that they're actually one. It says that, doesn't it? It says they became one. That other scripture says that Jesus and God were one. But that's not that they're one in an individual, but they are one in a purpose. The third example is in today's Olympics. Many of us have seen some of the things that were on the television recently, and the one that says in the games as a team, or even as an individual, for that one purpose, to attain, to win that particular mark or that goal. That oneness is in the ever-present in that individual's mind. It takes a great deal of dedication for that particular event. It should take a great deal of dedication for this event in our lives, as it does. And that oneness of dedication is to God, one with God. It took many long, strenuous hours of training for this one to place his body in a particular state that he could perform, even perhaps years. The Olympics are multiplied by each four-year period. And perhaps a person that's 20 years old starts in at that point and say, I want to prepare myself for the next event in the Olympics. It's just 4 years away. And he sets out with this dedication, training, not only in strenuous exercises, but a regular routine, a regular food, a regular exercise, a regular performance, perhaps in daily performance in that particular event, that he may make it better and better, even to the nth of 1 second of a degree, to prepare himself for that competition. You and I have entered into an agreement that we would prepare ourselves for not just for one event, but for a lifetime of events. But what a wonderful thought is that as we contend for this high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that we have someone to help us. Out there on that track or whatever it is in the Olympics, that individual doesn't have any help. It's up to him as an individual. But in our walk here, it's up to us too as an individual to train ourselves that we can walk in that particular way. Recently on TV, we saw an older man that had trained himself probably for many, many years, and he wanted to participate in the marathon. And the marathon, of course, is a very grueling event. It's 26 miles. It showed him near the end of that 26 miles. He had no, perhaps, intentions of winning that event, for as it showed him, it was even several hours later, near nightfall, that he was coming near the end of this course. He was barely able to walk. One leg was limping very badly as he went on. But as he entered the arena for that last lap of this course, he began to trot just a little bit, just to begin to move on in a little jog. And he did finish that, but he almost fell at the end. He was completely exhausted. But you know the comparison there. Those crowds that had thronged the winners had long gone. No one there to welcome him to his conquer of that event. Personal. It was a personal thing to endure, to finish that marathon. Those had long gone with the winners off to celebrate. No one there to welcome him. But I was thinking in comparison, as our Lord finished his course, through the grueling events that they put him through on that Gethsemane night, that after his resurrection, that there was God Almighty there to welcome him home to that spiritual home. To say, "Son, well done." This was a grueling thing for this man. And he no doubt had a great satisfaction, self-gratification of being able to finish that course. And as you and I progress through this course in our life, the dedication that we must have, the food that we must have to survive and have the energy for this course, it takes a great deal of dedication on our part. Probably no one of the world will be there to see when we are entombed that this was one who had won the race. But at the resurrection, God himself will be there to welcome us at the finish line of that course. A oneness of purpose. Though that man gave a vain struggle of no real reward except the self-gratification, but yet he felt that. Perhaps many here in the world that see us cannot sympathize with us nor see what is going on within the development of the new creature mind. But it's quite different with you and I. The Lord can read our hearts. He knows that development, that desire, that dedication, the strength that you put into that event. On that Gethsemane night of our Lord, we have in view our minds as he came down in from this prayer. And he spent a large share of that night after he went out from the feast in prayer. And no doubt he felt that oneness with God by knowing that his hour was come. He knew that the time for that sheep, that Lamb of God, to be slain, he knew very well what that meant for him, that he was that Lamb of God. He knew the time, he knew the hour, because it was almost that time for the Passover season. For the next day, about 3 o'clock, he was to go to the cross. Not go to the cross, because he'd gone to the cross at 9 o'clock of the morning. But to fulfill that by dying on the cross. But only what relationship he had with God in prayer and communion was the oneness that he had and the hope that he had that he might fulfill all that was expected of him. And we know that he did, because he was raised to God's own right hand. What an accomplishment. He yielded himself to God's purpose to be a ransom price that was needed in the Father's mind for the satisfaction of the offset of the ransom price for Adam and his race. To accomplish that part that God had in mind for the salvation of Adam and his whole race. This purpose took a great deal of dedication. to feel that oneness of purpose in his mind, and to dedicate himself even with all of the strength that he could muster, even though he was not able to carry that cross to Calvary, he went with it. You and I, perhaps we'll find low periods in our life where we feel, I don't know whether I can handle this or not. It seems more than I can bear. But God, by His grace, will give us that spirit, give us that needed power, that needed energy to yield ourselves to the occasion, whatever it may be, to accomplish that part that would be our part of the body, the filling up of the members of the body of Christ. It certainly does take a great deal of oneness and dedication for one to take upon themselves to find the energy to complete this course. But we have something that many others who compete in games do not have. We have the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and the 13th verse, says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit." That one in purpose. To drink, partake of that one Spirit, that one motivation that would keep us along the lines of self-dedication and of self-sacrifice. This scripture in Romans, the 6th chapter and the 3rd verse, all very familiar to us. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" And continuing with verse 6 and 7, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed," it says in the Common Version, "is justified from sin." We have been placed in the body of Christ, been baptized into Jesus Christ's death by this same Spirit that motivated Him to run with patience this race that was set before Him. No doubt our Lord was a frail man at times, though he was young. He spent such dedication to the service of humanity then by the miracles and all that he did that I know that he was very low at times, perhaps wondering if he could continue, even separating themselves away from the multitudes at times that they might rest, that they might take on food to prepare for further dedication. Oh, what trial, what oneness of spirit, what dedication he had. This 14th verse of this same chapter, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law. You are under grace. By the grace of God, He has asked us to share in this, that we might dedicate ourselves to the oneness of His purpose, to keep our minds in harmony with Him, to be filled with His Spirit. All these examples that we have are notable. But the example that we have of our Lord is incomparable. Man cannot touch that. So we have always in mind our Lord there in His lowly estate that last evening, thinking of what can I do to further fulfill that which God hath for me. Wanting to leave nothing unfinished, a stone not turned that could be turned without accomplishment. The examples that we have of Him are worthy and notable. In this same 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and the 17th verse, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. God told us that a sign would be given to us, and that He would give us of His Spirit, that we might know that we are the sons of God. Those on Pentecost had a very outstanding manifestation of the Spirit being given to them, in that they were never able to speak in a different language than they spoke unto the people that were present from every nation around. But yet they spake that language to the people, and yet they were from Galilee. Are these not Galileans? And yet they speak our language. We perhaps have not had that dramatic evidence in our life, other than the fact of God said that we would know by the oneness of Spirit. He has given us of His Spirit. How do we know that? We know because we have been able to see the mind of Christ. It says that we have the mind of Christ. We can see the mind of God. We know what His purposes are. We know what the plan of salvation is, and what it takes for the salvation for the world of mankind. And that oneness of purpose, along with our Lord's in that complete dedication of sacrifice, is the one thing that He has let us know that it requires of us as individuals. We can't do it for anyone else. No one else can do it for us. But within ourselves, we must train ourselves to run this race, the endurance even unto the end. In the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God? And you're not your own. You have something of God. It has been planted there. It is given you by the grace of God. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We know how that it was necessary for us to come into a relationship with God, for this oneness with God, only one way. And that's through the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By accepting that and being accepted of God in the Beloved. And as a evidence of that, that Spirit being given to us, which is a part of God, to develop us, to motivate us, that we might endure. 1 Corinthians 12 and 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. The unity that we see there, the oneness of purpose, each member of that body. God has placed the members in the body as it pleases Him, every one of them. 27th verse of that same chapter. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We see again that oneness of purpose, that oneness of dedication, the oneness that is demanded that each member of that body be in accord to a dedication to God for that purpose that He has in the salvation, not only of the church, but for the world of mankind. Let us turn to John, the 10th chapter, and the 30th verse. A simple statement. I and my Father are one. These are our Lord's words. What did He mean? That He was God? Was He sent here and left His abode in the heavens and became Jesus Christ? We know better than that. We know that this means that the Father had sent Him to do His will. The words that I speak are not my words, but the Father which hath sent me. They were one in the purpose, the unity that we have described that exists in a marriage, in a business, and the oneness that is required of an athlete in a purpose of winning. The same 17th chapter of John, the 21st verse, is a continuation and a part of this prayer that prays for you and I, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. That oneness of purpose, the dedication that we saw in our Lord, His willingness to go forth to all nations and to expound to them the Word of God, telling them that He was not God, but I am sent of the Father, and the words that I speak are His words. And so we see this oneness of purpose, one with God. In the comparison again of our great and only Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. This one last scripture in Psalms 50 and 5 that all of us are familiar with, Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. It will require the gathering of that great company, the body members of the anointed, together to accomplish that sacrifice that God had in mind to be the body member of the anointed Jesus Christ. May the Lord add his blessing. Number six.
Thank you, Brother Gaddy. We appreciate those thoughts of this wonderful oneness that we have with the Father and with our Lord Jesus. Brother Gaddy will close with prayer.
Once again, our great and all-wise, loving, eternal Heavenly Father, Thou who art from everlasting to everlasting, Thou who art God, we come into Thy hallowed presence once again in the name and in the merit of Thine only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, to praise Thee and to thank Thee for many bountiful blessings that You have bestowed upon us. We thank You for this day and for the privilege of this assembly and for the words that have been brought forth from Thy storehouse, and ask Thy special blessing on these words, that they may be a blessing through to us throughout our life. Continue with us, that we may continue to know and to appreciate Thy great call of salvation for us, and that we may appreciate more fully the adoption into the family of God, and for the purpose that You have for us in mind. Help us that we might find ourselves more dedicated to this purpose. And what we pray for ourselves, we pray for the Israel of God, our brethren throughout the land, and ask Thy special blessing upon each one in a particular way, and that those that are sick and afflicted and those that are isolated in a very special way, to comfort and to bless according to Thy holy will. These things we bring before You. We ask Thy continued blessing in our fellowship together. We pray in Jesus' dear name. Amen.